Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Wednesday, February 16th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, PSP donates $10.6 million to UTPB. Funds to be used for scholarships for students interested in health care. By the Midland Reporter-Telegram. The University of Texas Permian Basin is committed to solving one of the region's most pressing issues, a shortage of health care professionals. And now, thanks to a generous $10.6 million donation from the Permian Strategic Partnership, UTPB will cover tuition and fees for undergraduates majoring in nursing, pre-med, pre-dental, and pre-pharmacy through a competitive, renewable four-year scholarship. Our goal is to grow the next generation of healthcare providers in the Permian Basin, said Donna Buke, Dean of the College of Health Sciences and Human Performance, in a press release. This funding will allow so many students the opportunity to earn a high-quality education with little or no debt. The thought of student loans and massive debt can deter many qualified students from following their passion of becoming a doctor, nurse, dentist, or pharmacist. Thanks to the support of the PSP, we can now remove that burden so they can focus on being excellent medical professionals. The UTPB nursing and pre-med program expansions come at a time when there is a great shortage in our region, said Tracy Bentley, president and CEO of the PSP. We are seeing nurses become burnt out from strenuous hours and increased stress. Once established, this program will add up to 60 nursing graduates and 60 pre-med graduates by 2027 and annually thereafter. We look forward to building this local pipeline with our partners at UTPB. Funding is awarded through a combination of federal, state, and institutional funds to qualifying students. PSP scholarship candidates must have a GPA of 2.5 or higher, be a permanent resident of the Permian Basin, be admitted to UTPB, for nursing must also be admitted to the School of Nursing, for pre-health must declare a pre-health major, and maintain a cumulative GPA of 2.5 or higher each semester. To further support our hospitals and clinics, scholarship recipients must agree to work 3 years after graduation in their health-related field for an employer in the Permian Basin, a news release from UTPB said. Once students have been admitted to UTPB, they will fill out an application for the PSP scholarship by using their self-created student portal username and password. Students eligible for the PSP scholarship must reside in qualifying counties to be eligible: Andrews, Brewster, Crane, Culberson, Dawson, Ector, Gaines, Glasscock, Howard, Loving, Martin, Midland, Pecos, Reagan, Reeves, Terrell, Upton, Ward, and Winkler, New Mexico, Chavez, Eddy, and Lee. Additional scholarships are available for students who live outside of the Permian Basin. About the Permian Strategic Partnership. The Permian Strategic Partnership, PSP, is a coalition of 16 leading Permian Basin energy companies who join together to work in partnership with leaders across the region's communities to address current and future challenges to the responsible development of the vast oil and natural gas resources of the Permian Basin in the states of New Mexico and Texas. The PSP member companies are Apache, BPX Energy, Chevron, ConocoPhillips, Coterra Energy, Devon, Diamondback, Endeavor, EOG Resources, Halliburton, Occidental, Ovintiv, Pioneer, Plains All American, Schlumberger, and XTO Energy. For more information, visit www.permianpartnership.org. This article is entitled Market Provides Space for Women by J.C. Lewis. A new market held a first event this past weekend at Tall City Brewing Company. Boss Babe Market took place Saturday at 2202 West Golf Course. More than 30 vendors participated, with plenty of presents for Valentine's Day. Organizers Alicia Garcia, Diana Rodriguez, and Melody Garcia saw the need for a market that promoted women-owned small businesses. When I started at the Midland Downtown Farmers Market, I saw that the market wasn't able to have retail vendors because they wouldn't qualify as a farmers market, Alicia said. Personally, I knew a lot of vendors who couldn't be a part of the market because of it. I wanted to include any women that are out there hustling with a small business or a side hustle. The three women each own small businesses, with Rodriguez owning the Culture Cuisine food truck, Alicia owning Citrus Squeeze Limonada, as well as a baking business, and Melody recently starting Babe Flowers, a floral business. Alicia and Rodriguez started talking after they were both working during the Midland Downtown Farmers Market. Then we just became friends and started spending time outside of markets. And I already had an idea that it would be fun to have a women-focused market. But I didn't know anyone that could host it location-wise, Alicia said. Rodriguez set up her food truck at Tall City Brewing Company after someone suggested that the brewery was looking for food trucks. One day, while having brunch, Rodriguez suggested that the owners of Tall City Brewing Company might be interested in hosting a market. In August, I called Tall City Brewing Company and they scheduled us, Rodriguez said. She and Rodriguez and Melody are sisters. We started Cuisine Culture every month at least once a week. In December, we started talking about the market, and the owners were so open to all of our ideas and very supportive. Along with a variety of vendors, including Mexican cookies, customized tumblers, Mexican candy, dog collars, knit items, flowers, clay earrings, kitchen knives, soap, baked goods, and more, the market planned on a photo backdrop and two food trucks, The Kitchen by Lori and Sweet Traveler Patisserie. It was great for all three of us to come together because even though we are the organizers, we're still going to be there with our small businesses, Alicia said. Our main goal is to help other women become successful in whatever they are selling. The three have plans for more markets, Alicia said. The Buzz. Habitat Restore is offering consignment services. For more information, get in contact through email at tschmidt@habitatmidland.com or call 432-682-9606. This article is entitled City Postpones Career Fair While Cleanup Is Being Done by Stuart Doreen. The City of Midland reported Tuesday morning that several inches of water have entered the Busch Convention Center after a water main break at the south end of the building. City manager staff are at the facility now, the city reported. We are working with the original team who constructed the facility to investigate the origin and assess damage. On Monday, the Midland Chamber of Commerce reported that the convention center will close the facility until further notice. On Tuesday, the city reported, the Busch Center team has been in contact with any groups that had events on the schedule. The closure came one day before a City of Midland career fair was scheduled to take place. The city, Monday afternoon, sent out a different release that said, the City of Midland career fair has been postponed due to unforeseen circumstances. It will no longer take place Tuesday. The new date and time is yet to be determined. The next scheduled event on the facility's calendar is Oil Patch Kids Casino Night on March 25th, according to bushconventioncenter.com/events. The source of the water break has been located and is now under control, according to the chamber. The investigation is ongoing. The Convention Center is a city-owned facility managed by the Midland Chamber of Commerce. This article is entitled, Abbott's GOP Foes Addressed Robin Hood During Midland Visit, by Stuart Doreen. On Monday, Governor Greg Abbott distanced himself from a question about the so-called Robin Hood school finance system of education funding in Texas. On February 1st, Alan West, Chad Prather, and Don Huffines appeared at a GOP candidate forum for governor at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center and were asked about school finance, specifically the current system which moves hundreds of millions of dollars from districts in West Texas to other districts across the state. Midland ISD alone has sent $671 million to Austin for redistribution since the 2013-14 school year. That includes annual payments of at least $137 million each of the last 3 years. The following are highlights of their answers during the forum. West said, "First and foremost, if you think about the number one tenet of socialism, it is wealth redistribution. And the Robin Hood program is an exact example of wealth redistribution." West added that money from individual tax bases should be used to educate children in those areas, not be distributed to other school districts. "We are not going to take away from you and give it to someone else," West said. Huffines' school finance plan does away with recapture, at least within a decade, because, like West, he wants to do away with property taxes. Huffines said that Texans will have the opportunity to vote on a constitutional amendment that shifts the burden on property taxes over to a consumption tax. "We're going to keep the schools fully funded," Huffines said. "We're not going to change the funding formula. The money is just going to come from the state versus property taxes." Prather said, "Robin Hood, it's got to go away because it's a Marxist philosophy," but didn't say much about how he will fund one of the largest expenditures in the state budget. His website shows he would use a 1% increase in sales tax and in addition to the fuel tax to eliminate recapture. A value-added, or perhaps a consumption tax, capped around 9%, would effectively raise state revenue from the most affluent in our society, Prather wrote. Both West and Huffines talked about bringing in private businesses to help deliver a higher quality education at a lower price, especially for lower income areas. All three were against funding for any school involved in the indoctrination of students they said happens, whether that meant push big government concepts, cultural Marxism, or critical race theory. Abbott, despite being in Midland on February 1st, chose not to participate in the forum with the other Republicans. This is the State Page. This article is entitled, "Authorities Find Missing Man, Daughter, Last Seen in Big Bend National Park," by Mercedes Cordero, Midland Reporter Telegram. Big Bend National Park. After being missing for over 2 weeks, a Fort Stockton man and his daughter have been located in the Mexican state of Coahuila, which is adjacent to Big Bend National Park. The National Park Service was notified on Sunday by residents of a remote Mexican community across the Rio Grande River that a man and young girl fitting the description of Hector Flores Jr. and Luna Flores were in the area and seeking to purchase food. Mexico State Police confirmed their identities Monday afternoon. Both are reported to be in healthy condition. They will be returned to the United States to reunite with family members Tuesday. The father and daughter were last seen on January 28th after traveling from Fort Stockton to Big Bend National Park in his blue 2005 Dodge 1500 truck, according to a previous Reporter Telegram report. Flores's truck was found abandoned along the northern end of the remote Old Ore Road, with many of their personal belongings inside, according to the press release. An investigation into this incident is still underway. No additional information is available at this time. This article is entitled, Oil Drops After Russia Says It's Returning Some Troops to Bases, by Julia Fanzarez, Bloomberg. Oil fell after Russia said some troops are starting to return to their permanent bases, easing geopolitical tensions that have rallied prices. Futures in New York closed down 3.6% after falling nearly $5 a barrel during the session, the most since November 30th. Crude has swung wildly this week amid a flurry of reports about the tensions over Ukraine. While the U.S. had earlier warned an invasion may be imminent, President Vladimir Putin said talks with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz were businesslike and could be the basis of further discussions. Moscow has repeatedly denied it plans to attack. Still, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said it was yet to see any signs of a reduced Russian presence along the border with Ukraine. The market is holding on to every word in the standoff, with everything from natural gas and metals to global equities reacting to Russia's comments about the pullback of troops on Tuesday. Profit-taking with oil was inevitable after Russia's defense ministry stated that some troops are starting to return to their regular bases after completing drills, said Ed Moya, Owanda's senior market analyst for the Americas. The Ukraine situation still remains tense, and oil prices could swing $10 in either direction. Adding to geopolitical tensions, the underlying oil market is one of the strongest in years. S&P Global Platts assessed the dated Brent price, which values more than half of the world's crude, at more than $99 a barrel on Monday, traders said. Gauges of market strength along the futures curve are trading at some of their firmest levels on record, as supply struggles to keep pace with booming demand. Falling stockpiles have also been a major driver of recent gains. The industry-funded American Petroleum Institute reported on Tuesday that U.S. crude supplies fell about 1 million barrels last week, according to people familiar with the data. The data also showed stockpiles in Cushing, Oklahoma, the biggest storage hub in the U.S., declined by about 2.3 million barrels. The U.S. government will release its weekly inventory tally today.
This is Mackie, and I will be reading from the Odessa American, Wednesday, February 16, 2022. UTPB PSP announce healthcare partnership, by Ruth Campbell. The University of Texas Permian Basin and Permian Strategic Partnership have joined forces to increase health professionals in the region. A donation of $10.6 million from Permian Strategic Partnership will enable UTPB to cover tuition and fees for undergraduates majoring in nursing, pre-med, pre-dental, and pre-pharmacy. The four-year scholarship will be competitive and renewable. Funding is awarded through a combination of federal, state, and institutional funds to qualifying students. PSP scholarship candidates must have a GPA of 2.5 or higher, be a permanent resident of the Permian Basin, be admitted to UTPB. For nursing, must also be admitted to the School of Nursing. For pre-health, must declare a pre-health major. Maintain a cumulative GPA of 2.5 or higher each semester. The donation and Permian Health Initiative were announced at news conference Tuesday in the auditorium at the D. Kirk Edwards Family Human Performance Center. About 100 people from education and healthcare attended. The UTPB nursing and pre-med program expansions come at a time when there is a great shortage in our region. PSP President and CEO Tracy Bentley said in a news release, "We are seeing nurses become burned out from strenuous hours and increased stress. Once established, this program will add up to 60 nursing graduates and 60 pre-med graduates from 2027 and annually thereafter. Donna Buick, Dean of the College of Health Sciences and Human Performance, said there are 300-plus scholarships over the next 5 years for nursing and pre-health students. The startup funds are for additional faculty, staff, and resources to support the initiative, Buick said. She added that it is all part of the more than $10 million being donated by PSP. UTPB President Sandra Woodley said she has complete faith in Buick and her team. The Permian Basin Health Initiative is designed to grow the next generation of healthcare providers. Now this opportunity has become a reality because we were able to put in the same room some very smart, very innovative, extremely passionate people to work all of the details out. They had one charge, and the charge was how do we solve the shortage of doctors, nurses, dentists, and other medical professionals in the Permian Basin, Woodley said. The Permian Strategic Partnership is an unprecedented collective impact organization that is truly making a difference in this community. It is inspiring what they're doing here. Their substantial strategic investments continue to impact the Permian Basin in ways that will benefit our region for decades to come. I'm humbled and honored to partner with them yet again, Woodley said. Bentley said the way the scholarship is set up is after the $10.6 million is distributed, it is going to be sustainable on its own thereafter. There will be some revenue generated from UT system and some other places, so we built it to be sustainable after the $10.6 million, Bentley said. She added that they saw a shortage of nurses before COVID hit, but COVID exacerbated it. We also know, much like any profession, that you're more likely to want to work somewhere where you have roots or that you feel passionate about. And we know people who grew up in the Permian feel extremely passionate in the pride that they take. So we said, let's take the grow-your-own model and make healthcare professionals out of the amazing talent that's already right here in the Permian. We know that UTPB is the entity to help us do that, Bentley said. Don Evans, chairman of the board of PSP, said it's a big day for West Texas and UTPB. It's a big day for the citizens of West Texas and the Permian Basin. It's a really impactful announcement that was made today of a part of a public-private partnership between UTPB and PSP, said Evans, who served as Secretary of Commerce under President George W. Bush. He added that healthcare is especially important for people in this area. Everybody deserves quality health care, and we want to continue to enhance that out here. It's vitally important to attracting the talent that we need to continue to develop this resource. When families look at the Permian Basin, they're going to look at a couple of things. One will be health care, and the other will be education. Those two areas that we're spending a lot of energy, a lot of time, and investing in a lot of projects and programs that will enhance both of those areas. The Permian Basin is special, and the people that live out here should expect excellence in healthcare and excellence in education, and we're going to do all we can working with the public institutions to deliver that, Evans said. UT System Chancellor James B. Milliken said all of Texas is important to the UT system, but the Permian Basin is a special place in our hearts and in our heritage. Milliken added that the initiative announced Tuesday is a great opportunity for students in the region and will help fill the need for healthcare workers in areas that are understaffed right now. It's great opportunity for students to have access to get an education debt-free. But it's also a great opportunity to build the healthcare industry and make sure that this is as good a place as any to live and work and raise a family, Milliken said. He and Evans noted that the Permian Basin makes a large impact on the state, nation, and world. The impact of Permian Basin on the world is incredible. You heard Secretary Evans earlier talk about it being third in the world, just this region, in terms of oil and gas production. So clearly, it is a fundamentally important area. For the United States, it is strategically important for our security and our economy. And certainly, it's that for Texas. There's a special relationship with the UT system and the A&M system, with 2 million acres of land and mineral interest from that, that provide an enormous benefit to these two leading university systems and are part of the great work that they both do across Texas. Then you take UT Permian Basin, which right here in the middle of the region provides a great education. I couldn't be prouder of the work that UTPB is doing right now. Today, we owe a great debt of gratitude to the leadership that is in this region. Don Evans, Tracy Bentley, Sandy Woodley, who are responsible for shaping a program that is going to make an immediate difference, Milliken said. Landgraf Gray Forum, a Heated Event, by Kim Smith. Texas Legislative District 81, Representative Brooks Landgraf, started out Tuesday's Republican Party Forum saying, "The truth will prevail," and he isn't going to engage in mudslinging while seeking to keep his seat. His opponent, Casey Gray, started out telling the audience he was drawn out of his military retirement by corrupt politicians like Landgraf. "I'll work hard for the four counties, I'll work hard for you, and I will be a state representative that's accountable. You'll be able to call me on my cell phone numbers on any of those flyers," Gray said. "I'll be the hardest working employee you've ever hired." The Ector County Republican Party Forum at the Odessa Country Club for the District 81 candidates and those seeking the vacant seat in the 244th Judicial District had a packed audience. Candidates gave opening and closing statements, answered prepared questions, and a few questions from the audience. The forum was held roughly 1 week after a Texas-based news and political website called Current Revolt wrote an article alleging Landgraf had engaged in extramarital affairs and released texts and nude photos it claims supports the allegations. The woman in the nude photos came forward Tuesday to deny the allegations, saying Gray and his supporters stole them in an effort to hurt Landgraf. Gray repeatedly attacked Landgraf's morals throughout their portion of the forum, and Landgraf repeatedly said he wasn't going to take the bait, prompting bouts of applause every time in support of Landgraf. Gray also attacked Landgraf's record. When the candidates were asked if they'd vote for Proposition 6, which would prohibit Democrats from chairing House committees, both candidates answered in the affirmative. However, Gray alleged that during the last session, Landgraf gave Democrats chairmanships. They fled to Washington, D.C., and Texans had to negotiate away hard-earned rights. He further alleged Landgraf helped reduce voter fraud penalties from a felony to a misdemeanor. Landgraf, who is seeking his fifth two-year term, reassured the crowd that voter fraud is still a felony in Texas and said, in fact, that the penalties were strengthened for 24 types of voter fraud. The state representative said there's been a long-standing rule in the state that allows the speaker to appoint committee chairs, and it doesn't specify what party they ought to be. "We shoved so many Republican Party principals down those Democrats' chairs' throats that they fled the state. They choked on it. We got constitutional carry passed, the heartbeat bill passed, election integrity passed, all with those chairs. So when they're on small committees like that, it doesn't really make a difference. I say look at the results." When asked about enhancing security at the border, Landgraf said lawmakers are constructing the state's own border wall and will continue to do so using federal policy to the extent that we're permitted to do under the Constitution. Gray responded with a laugh. "We didn't get a real answer there. What he's going to do nothing because he did nothing. What's going on at the border right now, it's very easy," Gray said. In talking about his experience and skill set, Gray said he served in the Naval Special Warfare, the CIA, the Texas National Guard, and is a 100% disabled veteran from the U.S. Army. He also said he was a diplomat for the State Department in Israel. Gray alleged Landgraf tried to give a tax abatement to a nuclear waste plant in Andrews, tried to get a bill passed that would have allowed sand trucks to carry limitless loads, and pushed for an agenda that financially benefited his father. In addition, Gray said Landgraf attacked the Grow Texas Fund, which would have taken money from the general fund and put it into an economic stabilization fund and the state highway fund. He said the representative tried to rewrite the bill. It had to be pulled, and it died in committee. Landgraf told the group he stands by his records and pointed to the passage of Monica's Law as one example of the success he's had as a legislator. It took 3 years, but Monica's Law created an online protective order database, he said. He also told the audience that during his time in office, the money devoted to transportation needs has increased by 7 times, up to $360 million a year. As for the tax abatement, Landgraf said there was never a tax abatement, and the company Gray was referring to is a private entity that is not subsidized by the state or federal government. The company's surcharge fees were adjusted, he said. Landgraf laughed over Gray's allegations about the Grow Texas Fund. First of all, the Grow Texas Fund was my bill. It's my idea. I love it. It's great for West Texas. The fact that I would kill my own bill is ludicrous, Landgraf said. I have worked for 2 sessions to get that done. It has been passed in various forms in the Texas House of Representatives. It has always met its death in the Texas Senate. I still believe in the idea. The big cities don't like it because it would take money away from them because the oil and gas severance tax that would fund Grow Texas currently benefits large metropolitan areas. Guess where most of the legislators are from? The large metropolitan areas. Gray and Landgraf were both asked to address accusations and allegations of a personal nature against them by the moderator. Gray has an April trial date in Walworth County, Wisconsin, on a charge of bail jumping. The prosecutor in the case said last month that Gray is accused of violating a restraining order twice and jumping bail on the 2 cases that were filed as a result of those alleged violations. Online records also indicate Gray is involved in a child custody dispute in that same county. Court records also indicate that a January 6 status hearing was held on the violate harassment restraining order charge that was originally filed in February of 2018. Gray entered a not guilty in May of 2018. Gray told the group the bail jumping charge is the result of him simply changing his P.O. box address. He also said the case was over, but online records still indicate the April trial date. It's over an address change, which has a $500 penalty. My opponent wants to claim that these are a big scandal. What I would like to see is the true scandal that Mr. Landgraf is there that pales in comparison to anything I've been accused of, Gray said. Landgraf responded by saying, I haven't made any accusations about my opponent. I don't intend to start now. When someone in the audience asked who was behind the nasty allegations, Landgraf said he's not concerned about that. He considers it just a sideshow. Gray said Landgraf engaged in an affair with a staff member, and he was also engaged in an affair with 5 other women. I would challenge Mr. Landgraf to attempt to publicly deny right now that none of that is true, because if you do, you know that evidence is going to come out and prove you to be a liar. So please answer that, Gray said. As I said, I'm not taking any bait, Landgraf responded. In the race for the 244th Judicial District, retired Odessa Municipal Court Judge Dennis Jones and attorneys Cindy Weir Nutter and Lori Ruiz Crutcher answered questions about their judicial philosophy, work experience, and their views on bail setting and victimless crimes. Each of the 3 said they would take into consideration a defendant's ties to the community, the seriousness of the crimes, and their criminal history before setting bail. They each agreed the public's safety would be their prime concern. They also agreed there is no such thing as a victimless crime. The most heated portion of their forum was when they were asked about past disciplinary measures by the Texas State Bar. Ruiz Crutcher is the only one of the three not to have been disciplined. What we need to be talking about is capability. Are you capable of sitting on that bench? Are you capable of exercising good judgment? Are you capable of analyzing complex matters? Are you capable of working hard? Are you capable of doing what's right for our county? Ruiz Crutcher asked. Some of us have shown a pattern and a history of incapability. Some of us have retired once. Are you capable of working hard? I ask you to take these things into consideration and know there are some qualities you can't learn. Those qualities are, do you have a work ethic? Do you have integrity? Do you have good judgment? You either have those things or you don't, and the fact is, I do. Weir Nutter said her violation was a minor one. She didn't fight because she was in the midst of escaping from an abusive relationship at the time with her small children. She urged voters to go to her Facebook page for the details. She also said she is the only candidate who has practiced both criminal and civil law. Jones said his happened in 1999, and he has learned from his mistakes. The retired judge also said his experience outshadows that of his opponents. I believe I'm the best since I have the most experience. I believe I'm the best because I've actually practiced in the court that I'm hoping to sit on the bench. I believe I'm the best because I've had an active criminal practice since I left the city, and it's just something that there's some intangibles there, Jones said. He more you deal with criminal cases, the more you deal with the rules of evidence. The more you deal with criminal motions, it becomes second nature and you can move. You can see the issues of a case and you can move fast. My opponents, I don't think, could move quite as fast as I could. Woman says affair allegations are not true. A Lubbock woman says she and State Representative Brooks Landgraf are victims of a dirty campaign by Landgraf's GOP challenger, Casey Gray. Tiffany Wilson said via phone on Tuesday her life has been ruined by what she characterizes as a smear campaign seeking to leak her sexually to Landgraf. Wilson, a single mother, said she has lost her job, she can't eat or sleep, and that nude photos and a nude video of her have been widely disseminated on the internet and social media platforms. Wilson said she has met Landgraf once or twice, but has never been involved in an affair with the married legislator and has never sent him nude photos or video. She has hired a Lubbock attorney, Leanne Fouts, who said via phone Tuesday morning she is in touch with the proper authorities about what can be done to the people who stole the video and photos of her client. Current Revolt First published the affair allegations last week along with screenshots of text messages and the nude photos and video. The website describes itself as a Texas-based news and political website. Wilson contacted the site asking them to remove the images and to report the messages were not between her and Landgraf. The story has since been picked up by a number of conservative online news opinion sites. The truth needs to be out there, Wilson said tearfully, adding she wants her life back. She said she met Gray during an Odessa oilfield hiring event in January at the Marriott through Tom Slocum, who is running for railroad commissioner. Wilson said she has no idea how her photos and videos were obtained and spread. She said it was after her encounter with Gray and Slocum the photos and videos, as well as the allegations against her and Landgraf, surfaced, she said. Wilson said the truth needs to come out. During a Tuesday candidate forum sponsored by the Ector County Republican Party, Gray repeatedly referred to Landgraf's sex scandal, while Landgraf countered that he doesn't sling mud and that the truth always comes out. An email sent to Slocum's campaign email account seeking comment was not returned by press time. In a related matter, Winkler County Sheriff Darren Mitchell, who last week pulled his endorsement of Landgraf, posted on his personal Facebook that a recent story on an online news site did not tell the whole story about the pulling of his endorsement. For the record, I did some research after I withdrew my endorsement. That's why I believe Brooks is the best man for the job, and just because I withdrew my endorsement does not mean I'm not voting for him. Approached prior to Tuesday's forum, Gray told an Odessa American reporter to stay away from him. After the forum, he invited anyone who had additional questions to ask him, but made it clear that invitation did not extend to the Odessa American. During the forum, Gray blamed the OA for a hit piece on his legal woes. Gray has an April trial date in Walworth County, Wisconsin, on a charge of bail jumping. The prosecutor in the case said Gray is accused of violating a restraining order twice and jumping bail on the two cases that were filed as a result of those alleged violations. Online records also indicate Gray is involved in a child custody dispute in that same county. Court records also indicate that a January 6 status hearing was held on the violate harassment restraining order charge that was originally filed in February 2018 and that Gray did not appear. Gray entered a not guilty in May of 2018. Locally, and in a separate matter from the Wisconsin bail jumping, Gray has filed police reports in Ector County alleging harassment during the last 2 years. These reports were obtained through a Freedom of Information request. After being accused on social media of exaggerating his military record during his congressional run in 2018, Gray filed police reports and posted numerous times disputing stolen valor claims on social media. Pages of social media posts attached to the report show a number of back-and-forth dialogues between Gray and others on social media. View the documents at oaoa.com or at the links provided with this story. COVID in the Basin, Ector County, 36,687 total cases, 648 deaths. Midland County, 36,239 total cases, 467 deaths. Texas, 6,525,631 total cases, 82,360 deaths. U.S. cases, 77,592,982 total confirmed and 916,977 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or at the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. Medical Center releases COVID numbers. Medical Center Hospital has released its COVID inpatient numbers as of 8:30 a.m. Tuesday. Greater than 34 COVID patients in-house. Medical surgical non-critical 22 COVID patients. Critical care 12 COVID patients. 6 unvaccinated, 3 vaccinated, 3 unknown. 7 COVID patients on ventilator, 4 unvaccinated, 2 vaccinated, 1 unknown. Age ranges of COVID patients 30 years old to 89 years old. COVID patients from outside Ector County, 1 from Abilene, 1 from Big Lake, 5 from Fort Stockton, 1 from Gardendale, 1 from Kermit, 1 from Midland, 1 from Pecos. Free drive-through COVID-19 tests. The City of Odessa Incident Command is partnering with Curative to offer the COVID-19 PCR test drive-through from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at the corner of 2nd Street and Grant Avenue. Insurance information will be requested. If no insurance, test will be free. To book an appointment, visit curative.com. Early voting to begin. Early voting for the joint primary election, March 1st through February 25th, will take place at the following locations. Early voting at the Ector County Courthouse Annex, Room 104, 1010 East 8th Street, has been scheduled from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. through Friday, from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday, from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, and from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. February 22nd through the 25th. Early voting schedule at the branch locations will take place from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, and from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. February 22nd through the 25th at Kellis Turner Community Building, 2230 Sycamore Drive, the Globe Theater at Odessa College, 2308 Shakespeare Road, Salinas Community Building, 600 West Clement Street, and MCM Elegante Hotel, Hawaii Ballroom, 5200 East University Boulevard. For sample ballots or more information, call the election office at 432-498-4030 in Odessa or 432-688-4890 in Midland or visit tinyurl.com/3V7ZPCE2, Ector County, tinyurl.com/2P84B782, Midland County, or sos.state.tx.us, Secretary of State. Self-Health Event. The University of Texas of the Permian Basin has scheduled a self-health event from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. today at the UTPB's Student Activity Center, 4901 East University Boulevard. There will be booths providing all kinds of different resources, including a Pride Center West Texas booth. The Ector County Health Department is doing free STD testing. Visit tinyurl.com/4AKBEB9F. Town Hall. U.S. Representative August Pfluger has scheduled a town hall meeting from 4:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Wednesday at the University of Texas of the Permian Basin, D. Kirk Edwards Building, Falcons Auditorium Room 1014, 4901 East University Boulevard. Steve O., The Bucket List Tour. The Ector Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue, will present Steve O., The Bucket List Tour at 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. today. For tickets or more information, call 432-227-0103 or visit tinyurl.com/YSB4MRAE. UTPB Planning Transformation by Ruth Campbell. Armed with funds from the Texas Legislature and expected dollars from the University of Texas System, UTPB is embarking on a campus transformation. Sandra Woodley, president of UT Permian Basin, said this is an important project that they have been working on for a number of years. Fortunately, we've received some funding from the state legislature. We received about $45 million from the legislature, and we expect to receive some additional funds from the University of Texas system to help us completely renovate this building, the Mesa Building, but also to help us facilitate the campus transformation project, Woodley said. The university is in the planning stages of the transformation with a campus transformation team including Park Hill, Christy Ten Eich, Landscape Architects, Ecosystem Design Group, Lake Flato, and RSM Design, which is creating signage and wayfinding signs. There are five key components to that. First is the Bright Stars Memorial Plaza. You may remember the gift from the city that came over, so we will be facilitating a plaza for our 50th anniversary. And part of the plaza will be the Bright Stars Memorial art piece, and then all the things surrounding that. Tentatively, that will be on the corner of the campus where the stragglers are now, Woodley said. We're working on the design for that. We expect to have that by the end of the spring and get started on that. We also have a redesign of our quad in the middle between all of our campus buildings. That's a really important project for the students and for the faculty to make sure that we have a sense of place and a sense of belonging. It will include outdoor learning spaces, community gathering spaces as well. We expect that quad design to be really transformational in the way that the students congregate and work together, and also the way that the community comes in and experiences the university. Part of that design will also include the Mesa deck. We have that huge deck, so having easy access from the quad to the deck and transforming that space for the community and for learning will be a really important part of that project as well, she said. The campus influences welcoming the community onto the campus. The signage, both externally and the entrances, but also in and around the campus, the wayfinding is an important part of the project. And finally, wildlife areas, hike and bike trails, and also working on water containment, both for the city and for our campus. That ditch that goes all around some natural playas will be transformed for beauty for the walking paths, but also for function, making sure that we can reduce the flooding and it take care of that for multiple purposes. So those are kind of the five key components of the campus transformation, and all of those components are currently being designed. We expect to have the final design completed by the end of the spring, and then we'll kick off in the summer, Woodley said. Plans are also to completely renovate the Mesa building. Woodley said they don't have a design team for that yet, but they have a request for proposals out and ready to go. We'll be selecting firms that will help us design the functional learning spaces and redoing the office spaces, the wayfinding classroom spaces, Woodley said. The Mesa building was the first building on campus aside from the Founders building. Everything will be renovated in it, including electrical, mechanical, and life and safety components such as new elevators. It's exciting to be able to take this almost 50-year-old building and bring her up to the functionality and the beauty of our Kirk Edwards building and our engineering building. We're very thankful to the legislature and to the UT System Board of Regents for investing in these really important projects, Woodley said. Part of the transformation also includes the Mesa deck. Woodley said they are aiming for multifunctionality for the deck. Some of it may be enclosed for an indoor-outdoor space, meeting and multipurpose space. Some of it will be expanded for really innovative outdoor-indoor learning opportunities for classes. And that's true of the quad as well. Ways to take the classroom outside and gathering spaces for the community. We don't yet have the design on that, but they're really looking at multiple purposes for making sure that big, beautiful deck is functional, Woodley said. Right now, there's no shading. There's nowhere to sit. There's no reason to be up there, per se. We have a cafe there on the second floor that can serve that as well. And we need an easy way for people to get on and off the deck and to be able to view what's going on in the quad. Right now, the railings are concrete. You can't see down. They're not to code. There's a lot of construction that will have to happen to make it functional, but we really want to make sure that it's a warm, inviting space for the community and for the campus as well, and that it flows directly on to the quad, so it's very easy to see what's going on, both up and down, she added. The team working on this project is nationally renowned. They have worked on really amazing projects all over the U.S. They've got a lot of experience. 10 Ike Landscape Architects, that's the group that did the campus transformation at UTEP. We took a road trip out there to see what they did there, and it was just a really amazing opportunity to provide beautiful spaces for the community and for the campus. We expect it to be really great here, too, Woodley said. Part of the campus master plan includes an arena that will be on the back here on the opposite corner. We already have the arena designed and planned to have multi-use out there, Woodley added. The arena would be used for community events, but also the sports tourism initiative that we have going on here at UTPB. We can host tournaments, and the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center can bring in music events and other events into that arena. Right now, the assessment came in at around 6,500 to 7,000 seats is the size of the facility that would complement all of the other facilities that we have in the Permian Basin, she said. I think the project is about $70 million in the first iteration. It'll take us a while to continue with the planning on that and to raise the money to do it. But that is our goal, is to have the arena scheduled for that. Then we will use the existing basketball court as intramural and practice facility, Woodley added.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.